This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
The Wizard of Westwood now joins us tonight on Sports Byline. Coach, good evening. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Would you like to be coaching today? I mean, is the way the game played today something that's compatible with John Wooden?
Well, my philosophy wouldn't change if I were coaching today any more than making the normal changes according to the rules with the advent of the clock and the three-point rule. You do things, of course, to take advantage of those particular situations, but otherwise my philosophy would not change.
What about all the things around college basketball, the pressures? Have they changed a great deal, and would that be something you'd be comfortable with, Coach?
Problems are problems. They change, but you always have them. And if you can't cope with the problems that exist, then you should be in something else. But if you're in something else, you'd find that there were problems there, too. I think pressure is what you put on yourself, and if you don't put pressure on yourself, you're going to lose your job.
Recruiting has always been a key part to the success of almost any college sport. How did you approach it when you were coaching at UCLA?
I wanted youngsters to want to come. I refused to initiate contact with any out-of-state students, and I seldom visited the homes. I didn't believe in that. I didn't want to talk youngsters into coming. I wanted them to know what we had to offer and for them to want to come. I liked to have them come and visit our campus and see what we had and talk with them and talk with the players that you had so they could get an evaluation from them. But I didn't want to talk them into coming, and I think any player who played for me would tell you that I didn't talk him into coming. I would tell him that if he did come, we wanted him or I wouldn't be recruiting him, but if he did come, there'd probably be times in the first year or so that he probably would think he should have gone someplace else. But in all probability, had he gone someplace else, he'd be thinking the same thing. But after a while, that would all straighten out. That was my philosophy, and I tried to stick to it.
One of your former coaching pupils, Denny Crum, was with us, John, and he was lamenting all the things that you have to do now when you walk into a home of an 18-year-old. You almost have to tell him first thing how many times you're on television. He kind of shook his head, and as we talked about it, he says, you know, it just was not that way at one time, and he said, I think it was a better time for college sports.
Well, you've got to recognize that times change, and you have to go along with them and make certain changes along with them, but essentially it remains the same. You have to get them to believe in you, trust you, and if you're honest with them, that can come about. If you give them a line of goods, even though you may get one youngster, that news will get around and you'll lose the next one. So you've got to be honest about it and give them an honest picture of everything. And if you try to paint it too rosy, I think you're painting yourself in a corner.
I know that with all the success that you have, when you have a successful program, that in a sense is an endorsement for what you're doing. But now a lot of kids want to go on and make the big money that's in the NBA because they believe that everybody's going to make it to the NBA. Is that something that coaches have to deal with today and really try to get the kids to focus on maybe the broader approach, the fact that they need an education to go along with their athletic talents?
That's no different from what they should always have been doing. You always, at all times, you must make it clear to your players that they're there, first of all, to get an education. And basketball or football or the sport may be paying for it through the scholarship, but their main purpose must always be the education. No matter how good they are, a small percentage are going to make it in the pros, and a small percentage of those who make it are going to be the stars who are going to have a long career. And yet their education is a long career. That's going to last them all their life. And if they can get a foundation to establish a meaningful life in society as a whole with the education. They can't do it just with sports.
John, it was either your way or no way in a sense because you were a disciplinarian, but when you brought in certain players into your program, did you find that there were some that really tried to buck you for a while, and how did you turn them around, or was it that it was my way or no way?
Well, a coach has the greatest ally in the world if he'll use it, but I've found that many, many coaches are afraid to use it. The bench. They all like to play, and I could name a player that's probably the best player in his position that I had that sat on the bench almost a year until he learned that it must be a team game and it's not an individual game, and I was not interested in individual statistics. I was interested in the statistics for the team as a whole. But you can't be afraid to use it. I don't think you should bind yourself with a whole lot of rules, but when you do have a rule, you have to stick to it, no matter what individual might be involved or what his importance on the team seems to be. Every player on the team must be given the feeling that there is a place for him, there's a role for him to play. Some might be the engine in a car, and some might be just a nut holding a wheel in place. But each part is essential, and that's something that I always tried to get across to the youngsters, that many of their parts would not be in the public eye, but I would know about them, and they'd be very, very, very valuable.
Did you also find that by having that type of approach and philosophy, John, that it also helped in endorsing the team concept, where you did not have anybody who felt they were more important than any other element of the quintet on the floor?
Very definitely, and I was concerned about that from the very beginning with all the players, and stressed the fact that it was a team game, and then no player is any bigger than the team, and it's, I'm interested in their individual abilities, but how that can contribute to the team as a whole. And I tried to make that clear, and with some it was no problem, and with others it was more of a problem. I was fortunate in some of the superstars that I had, they had that concept immediately. There was no problem at all. And if a star or a superstar has that type of attitude, it makes it rather imperative that the others have it too.
I find it rather interesting to hear coaches kind of talk about the fact that they have to deal with a lot of elements that they didn't have to deal with before. Most, or namely, something that maybe an athlete comes from a deprived socioeconomic situation, or they come from the inner city and what have you. But yet you had athletes from every background, and yet that was never a problem. Was that because you didn't look upon it as a problem, that that was something you had to solve and you just approached it head on?
Oh, I think very definitely so. You have to... they're just basketball players out there in relation with each other and trying to establish themselves. Your job is to try to make the best team out of them. There will be different races, different religions, and I don't think it's any different today than it was when I coached or before I coached.
When you were coaching, you had those superstars, and there were some who said that you protected them from the media. You didn't really give them full exposure to the media, that you kind of fed them along the way so that they could get used to it. Was there anything to that, John?
Only their freshman year. Their freshman year, they were very, very closely watched, and we didn't like for them to have many interviews, and that was definitely set up through our sports athletic news bureau. After that, they were on their own as far as interviews and what I was going to, as long as it didn't interfere with practices or wasn't at a time on the game day when it would be interfere with their concentration on the game particular day. But otherwise, no, I had no restrictions on them at all.
Did it bother you to hear those type of criticisms of your style?
When you're in the public eye and you can't accept the criticisms, you better get out. It's the same thing as I tried to tell my players, that there will be times that they're going to get criticism that's unjust, and they won't like it, and sometimes it'll be just. But also, I want them to always keep in mind that at times they're going to get praise that they really don't deserve, and other times they'll get praise they deserve. They'll like it either way. But you've got to take those in stride, and your ability to accept both criticism and praise, in my opinion, will determine what kind of a person you are. You let either one of them lose your perspective about either one, whether it's praise or criticism, it's going to hurt you from being able to function according to your particular level of competency.
One of the things that I've found in talking to your former players and is that a lot of the things that they picked up, they always talk about what they learned while they were under you at UCLA and how it's carried over into other things in their life beyond their playing days.
Well, it should. Now, I've been asked many, many times, can athletics build character? And my answer has always been the same as long as I can remember. I say it can build character, but it can also tear down character.
Mm-hmm.
It depends upon the leadership. and it's up to coaches to give provide leadership. I've always taken great stock in something that I read in the NEA Journal back shortly after I entered the teaching profession in the middle 30s. I read something that said, no written word, no spoken plea can teach our youth what they should be, nor all the books on all the shelves. It's what the teachers are themselves. You have to teach, and you have to set the example if you expect the youngsters to execute the way that you would hope that they will be. Not in terms of being better than somebody else, but constantly making improvement toward becoming the best of which they're capable.
John Wooden has joined us tonight on Sports Byline USA. We'll open up the lines around the country, give you a chance to talk to John. He won 10 NCAA championships, 7 in a row at UCLA, and we'll continue with John and you on Sports Byline in a moment.